It's quite interesting the way that God seems to connect different times and parts of our lives, different parts of our history. I remember when I was here in Canberra many years ago before I was a priest and studying here, I'd heard of this the early days of the renewal when I was at university. I'd just come into an experience of the Catholic experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'd heard of in another church where there was a group of people going up north, right up the top of Australia to a place called Elko Island. In fact, it was in the Australian this weekend. And I kind of heard these sort of stories, just glimmering into stories of something going on up there, and for some reason there were people from this church going up there. And then I ended up in Darwin for about 9 years, and I actually encountered some of those people from Elko Island. It was an extraordinary story about how a community that was in great disarray and dysfunction had been praying. Just a group of people, just very simply every day, were just praying for God's Spirit to come and refresh the people. I won't go into a whole story of how it kind of happened, but something did happen on that island. It was an extraordinary thing. So much so that when one of the ministers who was training in Darwin went back to the island, he was very deflated, very down about the condition of his people and the community. He wondered when anything could happen, and something extraordinary happened to his wife while he was in Darwin, a real kind of work and a healing of God's Spirit. And they kind of went back to the island with greater hope. When they arrived at the island, they found people kind of welcoming of them. And one person saying, "Look, why don't we have one of those Bible studies like we used to?" And when they went to this Bible study and prayed, an extraordinary thing happened. Like just this movement of God's Spirit, the place began to shake. And they did hear that wind, the Spirit. And the extraordinary thing that happened after that was people began to come to this Bible study, like they just started to fill the house. Anyway, went on and on from there, just people coming to the Bible study, coming to prayer meetings. There was kind of reconciliation happening between families. There was healing happening on the island. It was extraordinary sort of stuff. And people were coming from Canberra, going up to look at it. But what happened from there was a kind of movement in the people to move out from that little island. Now, that may not sound a big thing to you, but some people who are from different cultures who know in your culture it can be very strong, your family or your area or your place, you don't just move out. Certainly amongst some of the Aboriginal people and certainly on Elko Island, you didn't go into anyone else's land. You didn't go outside your own land because they had a belief that there were a lot of spirits there and they were protecting the land. If you went in there, they'd fix you up. But they heard the call of God to go out, to move out beyond their island, and they had a few missionaries who were working there. And they began, and some people wanted them to go to Warburton in Western Australia, long way from Elko Island. And so they prayed and said, "We'll go." And they started to move out. And again, it was extraordinary what happened through them as they moved out, as they started to minister to other Aboriginal communities. And they moved again and again. Now, this is something that happened here in Australia, not back in the Acts of the Apostles, not 2,000 years ago, but about 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, 35. 40 at the most. And it happened here in this country. You know, God's Spirit was at work moving in desperate circumstances of people. And all there was a group of people just crying out, "Lord, send your Spirit." They reckon they met these people 5 minutes every day around their morning tea. A few Christians just to gather together and say, "Do something, Lord. Pour out your Spirit on this place." And it began to happen. You see, God's Spirit, when He comes to us, you know, is a Spirit who moves us out, not just to be out, doing lots of activity, but the heart of God is to bring people into communion. God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world, to restore the world to its rightful place before the Creator, before the Father. Jesus came to restore this, the world, in right relationship with the Father. He gave his life so that all the world might come back into relationship, that we might be restored to our rightful dignity as daughters and sons of God. He so desired that he paid for it in his own blood. It was the Spirit that animated Jesus. He's the great Spirit bearer. It's the Spirit that drove him into the wilderness. It's the Spirit that gave him that missioning to reach out to all the world. And when his disciples, remember at the beginning when he gathered the disciples around him, the first community he gathered around himself, that he would be the center of that community. They would learn from him. They would draw from him. You remember, they didn't want to keep going out. Remember one stage in the scriptures they said, "Oh, we've been looking for you everywhere, Jesus. There's more people here that need to see you." And he said, "I didn't come just for you. There are other places I must go to." You see, there's a tendency for us to settle down, to close the doors, to bolt the doors and to get comfortable. I was very impressed with last night because people left their flat screen TVs. They left their laptop computers. They left their computer games, I think. You didn't have any inside in your iPod, did you? And you actually came out. That's a kind of movement of God's Spirit. You moved out for yourself, maybe a little bit, but largely to pray for this place, to pray for Canberra, to pray for the church, to pray for this community. You moved out. And that's the action of God's Spirit in our world, because it's what Jesus did. So when the disciples are locked away in their room and afraid because Jesus is kind of absent from them, he's departed from them, he's ascended, and they're afraid. You see, the world is no less dangerous, no less hostile, no less violent towards them now that Jesus has risen. It's still testing the gospel. It's still rejecting the gospel. So the threat was great to the disciples. Their fear was real. So what happened? When this Holy Spirit came upon them, yes, we all know they were kind of strengthened and courageous and they moved out. But why? Because they already knew something of the experience of the Spirit. There was something about the Holy Spirit that spoke to them of Jesus. He's still with us. He promised he would never leave us. He's with us. I can't see and touch him, but his Spirit is with us. And just as he took them out into the world, just as he launched out into that hostile and opposing world, and he took his disciples with him, just as when he began his ministry and he called all to repentance, to turn away from sin and to open their hearts to the good news, just as Jesus did that in his earthly ministry, so the Holy Spirit causes the disciples, he causes the church to move out. He's with them. And he's calling them out primarily in the mission to draw people into communion. You see, the Holy Spirit is the great builder of relationships and communion. The Holy Spirit is the great encourager. Anyone feel discouraged? I remember being in Darwin, tried all sorts of things with different groups of people, and was a failure. Tried all sorts of outreaches and all sorts of things that we do here, and two or three people turned up. Tried all sorts of youth outreaches and thought it was pretty dynamic and got people up, and nothing much happened. So I became very deflated and discouraged. And I remember just laying flat on the floor, praying, but laying flat on the floor before the Lord saying, now I remember someone said the Holy Spirit is an encourager. Encourage me. Encourage me, Holy Spirit. Within a few seconds, there was this phone call from a community that wanted something of what we had to offer in terms of bringing the grace, the baptism in the Spirit. Now, it doesn't always happen like that, but it did speak to me of that the Spirit is a spirit of encouragement. The Spirit also will lead us into the heart of Jesus for the world. He will lead us to the cross and the resurrection. He will draw us into a mission that will lead us directly into the cross and resurrection. He doesn't guarantee success. He guarantees us to strengthen us to do the same mission and ministry that Jesus did. Was Jesus always successful? Did they always receive Jesus with open arms? No. That they opposed him and they rejected him, but he knew he had the words of eternal life, that he is eternal life. And so what we celebrate tonight, what we have to be reminded of is that the Lord sends his Spirit to strengthen the church, to continue the mission and ministry of Jesus. And it is a new beginning. It is a new beginning because the church now doesn't have that physical presence of Jesus, but has his Spirit strengthening and guiding and sending. It's a new beginning. That redemptive work, that healing work of Jesus continues by the work of the Spirit. The Second Vatican Council said that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent upon the church forever. Not for a moment in time, not for a moment in history, not for a moment 2,000 years ago, but forever. The Holy Spirit was sent upon the church to renew her, to refresh her, to strengthen her in the mission and ministry, to make us a communion of people around Jesus. The Spirit also comes to purify. Jesus, when he began his mission and his ministry, you remember, he preached, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's inaugurated in me. Very clearly, that was the call. Very clearly, as the church moved out under the power of the Spirit, we see in Peter's first speech, he called people to repentance. That to be a people of communion, we need to be a people who are purified of that within us that breaks communion with God and with others. So for us tonight, as we continue to open up, as we continue to make more room for God's Spirit in our lives, as we welcome God's Spirit to work in our lives in ways to do greater things, as Jesus said in John's Gospel, we even do greater things than I did. We also have to be prepared for the uncomfortable times when the Holy Spirit will convict us of the times when we're not people of communion. When we break relationship, when we break down relationship, whether it's with the people I live with, or whether it's in my marriage, or in my workplace, or in the church that I'm working in, or wherever it is, there's a call upon us continually to reach out beyond self to the other. But see, the way of the world around us, it idolizes the self. It idolizes the whole thing of that kind of independence that at all costs, no regard to the other, and it breaks communion. We live in an incredibly fragmented and broken society. Relationships breaking down everywhere, in marriages, in communities, in workplaces, everywhere. It's a fragmented culture that we live in. And in the midst of that, We're called to be a people of communion. You know, when Christians start to sort of break off because they don't like the way people in a particular community operate, or a particular parish they're a part of, or whatever, it just models something of the world, rather than saying, how can I be a person of communion? How can I move with God's Spirit here? You know, you see this in the early Acts of the Apostles, that, you know, we're told that they were faithful to the breaking of the bread, to the listening to the word of God, to coming together. They sold all they owned, gave it to the poor, and shared everything in common. My goodness, how far we've come. How far we've come from that original vision of the Christian community. You know, in our materialistic culture. But God is calling us again to be that people of communion. So tonight, we have the opportunity to pray yes for the Spirit to come anew and afresh upon us. But we need to be very practical, very concrete about how we're to be people of communion. How we're to be people who grow in the Spirit. Not just that I come on Sunday night, but I would be a person of prayer, that the Spirit comes and prays within us when I don't know how to pray. But I have to put myself practically in a place and a time and a way of praying. You know, we have all sorts of opportunities here at St. Benedict's for prayer. One of the great ones is adoration. I've often called you to adoration. I want to call you again tonight, that the Spirit would call you to this beautiful gift of God present with us. Everything we do here at St. Benedict's and the Eucharistic Center is soaked in prayer before the Lord. And you're called. Some of you have been called tonight to be practical about that, and to give your life, to give your time, to put your body on the line in prayer. Another practical way is that we cannot grow in the Spirit without the church. It's like trying to breathe without lungs. You cannot be a Lone Ranger Christian. But you've got to concretize that. You've got to say practically, how am I part of the church? Where are my relationships? Each week, I go to some Mass at St. Benedict's on Sunday. Don't see anyone else during the week. In fact, I just go to just drag myself back next Sunday and go again. No, the Lord would be calling us to build relationship, to come together around the Word of God, to actually be open to reaching out to others, not just my group, but be open to reaching out to others. That's why we started cell groups here for some 4 or 5 years, that it would be a place where people come, they experience coming together, encountering Christians around the Word of God, and they're always, always, always open to someone new coming. In fact, they're praying for someone new to come to their group. They're praying. And not just waiting outside 7 p.m. Mass, see if they can get someone else into their group. You know, you've got 15 people and they're all going to 60 different same groups. But they're actually praying for others to be touched in Canberra. But there's a heart of Jesus for the world. And finally, to grow in the Spirit, we need to be people of service. We need to take the gifts that God has given us and put them to use for the kingdom of God. Put them to good use. Not to sit on them, not to sit on my hands, but to actually engage and serve in building the kingdom of God. So let's pray tonight as we come to the Eucharist. Let's pray that our hearts might be open to be a person of communion, and a person who does something practically to ensure that that communion has an outworking in my life, that I'm really stitched in to the life of the church and into the mission of the church. Let's pray that God's Spirit will renew us in our love for Jesus, and for those that he calls us to minister to and to care for.